Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. I've got one question and one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Coming up this hour, will there be an AFC dark horse that can be a party crasher in the playoffs? We'll discuss that coming up here in about 18 minutes from now. The Buffalo Bills have made a change. They've gone with Pitt quarterback, who had transferred from Tennessee to Pitt, rookie QB Nathan Peterman. Peterman was a late riser in the NFL draft, was selected in the fifth round by Buffalo. Kind of goes to show you where the Bills are right now. The Bills had originally had some designs of making the playoffs. They had started off the season so well. They had people in Buffalo thinking, believing that they could finally break that playoff drought since the 90s. And then after a couple of losses, they fall to 5-4. And with a trip to Los Angeles in the offing on Sunday, they've decided to make a change.
Man, I don't know.
You're still 5-4 in the AFC playoffs after the Patriots, Steelers, and Chiefs. Pretty wide open. If I'm the Bills, I don't think I would make this deal yet. Unless there is something happening behind the scenes where guys don't respect Tyrod Taylor, or Tyrod's not putting in the effort, the work. If there's something behind the scenes that is suggesting that Tyrod Taylor has lost the locker room or lost some of his guys. But if you're just looking for a spark, man, at 5-4, I don't think now is the time to run this gamble. I know Tyrod Taylor is not a star, but Tyrod Taylor was good enough to get you 5 wins. And 8-8 might get you into the playoffs. 9-7 probably will. Unless Peterman has just been absolutely nails behind the scenes, I think this is a little premature to do it. I realize that coming into the season, Sean McDermott was not a Tyrod Taylor guy. I realize he's left over from the previous regime. But you're still looking to make the playoffs in an AFC that is pretty damn wide open outside of the top three teams. I think I would wait a little bit. I know he hasn't been good the last couple of weeks, but I think I would wait if you're 5-4. You might want to be ahead of the curve instead of behind it, but this feels a little premature to be putting Nathan Peterman in if I'm the Bills. College Football Playoff Committee, brand new rankings out last night. And we learned a couple of things with the playoff committee. Number one, they still believe Clemson is more deserving and a better team than Miami. And frankly, I agree. I think Clemson's the better football team. Miami has more pizzazz right now. Miami's in the national consciousness because of that Notre Dame game. But Miami has so many games this season where they slipped by inferior opponents. And until they beat Virginia Tech 2 weeks ago, they did not have a win over a ranked opponent. So I'm fine with the committee putting Clemson atop Miami 2-3. And let's face it, it doesn't really matter because that's going to be a win and you're in ACC championship game anyway between those two clubs. We also learned that the playoff committee views the Big 12 as the AFC South. It's nice that Oklahoma is the best team there, but it doesn't really mean much to us right now. Now, granted, Oklahoma is ahead of undefeated Wisconsin, but Oklahoma, by virtue of wins over Ohio State, Oklahoma State, and TCU, has an argument for number two, let alone number three or number four, and they put them at four. Why? Because the committee is saying the only legit win we see there is the Big House. I'm sorry, the Horseshoe. When they went to Columbus and won in CBUS, that was the only one that this playoff committee is taking seriously. They just don't take the Big 12 seriously. And again, I agree. If your defense allows 52 points in a rivalry game, and that conference continually puts up tremendous offensive numbers, but video game numbers, the committee is saying that's not a real football conference. It's the AFC South. Somebody's got to win it. But you don't really take the winner of the AFC South seriously to win a Super Bowl. I'm okay with that. And I'll tell you this. If Oklahoma ends up winning the Big 12 championship game, but Wisconsin ends up undefeated, Wisconsin's hopping them. Now, likely somebody's going to fall out of Clemson, Miami. I don't think the ACC is getting two bids. But the SEC could. SEC could. And maybe, just maybe, if Miami ended up winning the ACC championship game. Nah, but they're not going to put a two-loss Clemson team in there. I suppose a one-loss Miami team might if they lose in a heartbreaker. But you watch. The committee is not going to give the Big 12 the benefit of the doubt because they haven't in years past. But here's the big one, Ohio State. Because after a second loss, we all said the Big Ten's only hope is Wisconsin. And now the door is at least slightly ajar for the Buckeyes with two losses to creep their way in if they beat Wisconsin in the Big Ten title game. So here would be the question. If you had one spot in the playoffs, would the committee put in a one-loss Oklahoma team out of a conference they have continually stated is not good, or a two-loss Ohio State champion that just knocked off an undefeated Wisconsin team in the Big Ten championship game? That would be very hard for this committee, and here's why. As I said, I don't think they take the Big 12 seriously, but they can't let Ohio State backdoor their way into another playoff like last year. They got embarrassed last year when they put Ohio State in instead of Penn State. Even though Penn State beat them, went to the Big Ten championship game, they put in Ohio State anyway. Because in their mind, Ohio State was the better football team. And again, that is the ultimate evidence of, we'll know it when we see it. The College Football Playoff Committee is not playing by rules. They're playing by the Supreme Court's definition of hardcore pornography. We'll know it when we see it. When we wake up after the conference championship games, we'll just kind of see how we feel. And we kind of felt like Ohio State was a better team than Penn State. Well, the same thing's going to happen now. Because going into Big Ten championship game weekend and everybody else's championship games, if Ohio State does do it, and of course knocks Wisconsin out of it with the loss, and is sitting there with two losses, could we have a two-loss Buckeyes team in there that once again backdoors its way in with a little bit other stuff that it would need to help itself out? I don't think the committee could do that again with a straight face because Ohio State got bombed last year once they made it. I don't think they could do it again. I don't think you could just keep giving the benefit of the doubt to Ohio State after what happened last year. It's out there. It's a possibility. I don't think we'll get there. I don't think that'll happen. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter. DA on CBS. You know, yesterday during Trash Tuesday, one Andrew Bogish really dropped a bomb on us. I had known behind the scenes of some of the inner workings of CBS Sports Radio. As you might imagine, I'm slightly in the know around here when it comes to my guys. And turns out, the playoff selection committee looked at Mraz, weighed his resume, looked at other potential resumes, weighed head-to-head matchups, weighed strength of schedule, and said, we need to fill the shift, Amy Lawrence's overnight shift, Thursday, Thanksgiving, going into Thanksgiving morning, and Black Friday. And they looked around at some of the other options. They weren't good. They looked around at some of the other producers. Wasn't good. They looked around and said, guys, we might only have one option, and that's Mraz. Can we trust him with 200 affiliates and a network on one of the most trafficked nights of the year? And that's Black Friday. People are up at 2 a.m. driving out to big box stores to get themselves a 4K TV. And they looked around and they said, I don't think we can trust a guy that didn't know that Columbus wasn't a pilgrim. Can we trust a guy on the air with 200-plus affiliates and one of the most traffic nights of the calendar year who thought that in Brazil they spoke Egyptian? We can't trust a guy that thought that the scientific name of a dinosaur was the Falafel Raptor. They sat down and they started weighing resumes and they said, we might not have another option though. But can we do this? Can we do that? I mean, CBS, the Tiffany Network, it's a brand. And they looked at the DA show and they said, we've got one thing going for us. That's the best damn radio show we've ever heard. That's the greatest example of sports radio that has ever been cooked up in the history of the universe.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Not only are they spitting piping hot sports takes, they're seamlessly working in a lot of eating and overweight and chubby jokes.
Puffiness with sodium.
They are also somehow weaving in tons of tremendous insights into pop culture and stupid things that Americans do on a daily basis.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
They have somehow made Brandon Whedon a household name.
Brandon Whedon's a bum. Brandon Whedon's a bum. Brandon Whedon's a bum.
We might not have another choice, but we have to trust that if he came out of our greatest success, then maybe some of that magic would rub off on him. And so 1 week from tomorrow, Mraz will get his pilot's license. He'll take off in his prop jet, his little puddle jumper, and take into the night skies. Ooh, zzz, zzz. It'll be rickety at times. They'll hit some turbulence. At times, the network and the executives will probably feel like we are going down. But when all is said and done, I believe that Sean Mraz will land that puddle jumper and be the next great, the next CBS Sports Radio host.
You win.
Not full-time, but just as a fill-in guy during holidays. But we will absolutely support him in this endeavor. So I encourage you a week from tomorrow to be tuned in at 2 a.m. Eastern time until 6 a.m. Eastern time, Thanksgiving morning, when you're coming home from the bars because you just went out to hang out with all your peeps, all your friends from the hometown in town for Thanksgiving. And the next night when you're waking up at the crack of dawn to get yourself a new VCR. Oh, we're not selling those anymore. Mraz, excited or nervous? If the pie chart's 50-50, where's at least 51%?
95% excited, 5% nervous.
Come on.
I'm serious.
Come on.
I am serious. I'm ready to go. Just another day at work.
I don't believe that for a second.
I'm telling you.
Not a second.
The key is not to overthink it. Just go out there and be me.
Listen to the PGP, the Permission Granted podcast this week, because we go inside the behind the scenes of this decision and how there could be a brewing controversy here inside the newsroom walls, because some people behind the scenes, other producers, could be resentful of Mraz.
Nobody is. You're just stirring fake controversy.
Could be very resentful. When we return, will there be an AFC playoff party crasher? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Ernie Johnson, host of TNT's award-winning Inside the NBA.
Beam me up, DA.
You got it.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The best of clips of the DA show's episodes every single day uploaded to YouTube after we get off the air. So go to YouTube/CBS Sports Radio and see the best of the show. Also, when you go to YouTube, you'll see the brand new Nomad episode, my trip to Auburn. What a tremendous experience it was. Take it in the sights and sounds, the game day atmosphere, the tailgate, the food, the drink, the game, Tumor's Corner getting rolled. All of it is in there. I encourage you to go check it out. If you're an Auburn fan, I think you'll love it. I'm really happy with the way that it came out. Really, really cool. What a cool video memory for me of my first time at Jordan-Hare Stadium. The Eagle, dramatic. I mean, the whole thing was so cool. So go to Nomad or go to YouTube and simply search my name and Nomad and you'll see it come up. That's my name backwards, first name Damon. And then you'll also be able to see that on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDAShow, and also on our Twitter page, DA on CBS. If you look at the AFC playoff standings right now, or the AFC standings heading into the playoffs, we're almost at Thanksgiving, obviously, then a few more weeks after that. It's not that we don't have plenty of football left because teams have only played 9 games, but you can start seeing the separation and the picture, as always, in November starts clarifying. September, this is how the NFL breaks down now. September is a cluster fork because nobody practices anymore. There is no preseason because nobody plays in the preseason. And so going into week one, you finally, for the first time, have all of your players playing a significant amount of a game and or practicing together. I mean, really think about it. You don't even have, first of all, you don't have two-a-days. You can't hit anymore in practice. Practice is limited. And so the polish is gone. Then once you get to the games of the preseason, nobody plays to risk injury. If you do play, you're trying to earn a roster spot, or maybe you play for a couple of series, but nobody plays more than that. So week one through week four, September, is just a cluster. Nobody knows anything. Nobody is ready. No team looks great. I mean, the Chiefs did this year, but obviously, you know, it depends on who you are playing, when you are playing them. September is a crapshoot. October starts creating some clarity because teams are starting to figure it out. But still, you have some teams that aren't that good that carry that over into October. And there's just a lot of mishmash. As we saw, October, still a lot of bad football. November, good teams start separating. Bad teams start dropping. Teams start quitting, Giants included. Coaches are on the hot seat, so they do stupid things. Sometimes coaches get fired, and then you have interim coaches. And so November is where you see, okay, here's good teams, here's bad teams. And then December are the good teams, the really good teams hitting their strides, and the kind of good teams clawing for a playoff spot. We're in November. So you can start seeing the separation. Patriots are once again legit. Steelers are legit, even though they just survived last week against Indianapolis. And the Chiefs, I believe, are legit. And when I say legit, do I think they can win a Super Bowl? Do I think they can make an AFC Championship game? Yes. So who's next up? Well, first of all, somebody's got to win the AFC South. Titans, Jaguars, it's going to be one of those two. Both are 6-3. Texans are 3-6. So Titans or Jags are going to win the AFC South. Neither one can win a Super Bowl. Can either one win a home playoff game? Sure. Yes. With this crew that's going to get into the AFC playoffs? Yes. But can Tennessee or Jacksonville go to New England, Pittsburgh, or Kansas City and win in the divisional round? No. So the Titans or Jags. And then if the one that wins the division, the other team makes the wild card, here are the other teams in wild card position. Bills at 5-4. The only other team in the AFC above 500. Woof. And then Dolphins, Ravens, Raiders at 4-5. So take your pick of Bills, Dolphins, Ravens, Raiders as your sixth wild card team of the AFC. The Raiders have the best upside because the Raiders still have the best talent, because the Raiders still have the best quarterback out of that crew, and because the Raiders proved last year when they get things cooking, they can be good. They can beat good teams. The Bills are making a quarterback change, which means I'm going to have to believe in Nathan Peterman in November and December in Buffalo to try to make a playoff spot. Not going to do that. The Ravens, no. Nope. Perfectly mediocre to below mediocre. Not going to happen. Dolphins? I mean, you got to be kidding me. That team, the way they've looked?
Oh, my God. Jay Cutler.
So my solution is just have a giant crease open up in the middle of the earth and all of these teams fall into it. Because it's not even worth watching. It isn't. It's not worth watching. Could you imagine if we get Ravens at Titans wild card Saturday? Could you imagine if we have the Dolphins in the playoffs?
Oh, my God. Jay Cutler.
Can you believe if Nathan Peterman is leading the Bills into January? I mean, the only hope is that the Raiders figure it out, because the rest of those options are not very good. So, no, there's not going to be a dark horse that comes out of the AFC and is a bowling ball in the playoffs and takes out everybody else. It's not going to happen. Your AFC championship game is some combination of Patriots, Steelers, Chiefs. Simple as that. Now, could the Chiefs get knocked off in their first playoff game? Yes. Even the Steelers might, because you never know which Steelers team shows up. The Patriots will not. There's not a team in these playoffs that can go to Foxborough and win unless it's Pittsburgh or Kansas City. And even then, I've got my doubts, but those are the only two teams of the AFC that can go to Foxborough and win. The AFC playoffs? I mean, the early rounds? I just, no. Bills at Chiefs, wild card weekend.
Oh, my God. Jay Cutler.
Dolphins at Jags, wild card weekend.
Oh, my God. Jay Cutler.
Titans at Chiefs, wild card weekend.
Oh, my God. Jay Cutler.
Mraz, are you ready for that Saturday 4:30 kick?
About 50 wings in my lap, and away we go.
When we come back, we've got your cut line, the story that did not make the cut. Plus, we've got your epic fail. Should Greg Olsen be allowed to call a regular season game while being on the injured list? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Callers come on, they have to ask to board. If he grants them permission to board, he plays that sound effect.
Like, you know,
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
38 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Fried Turkey Neil tweets, so DA, you say the Jags can't go to Pittsburgh and win. Do you mean like week 5 when they went up there and won by 3 touchdowns? Very true. Jags have done that. But here's the bit. The Jags would have to win 2 of those playoff games in a row. So Jacksonville's either going to have to win the division, win a home game, or be on the road as a wild card team and do that, then to get to Heinz Field again in the division round. Because I don't see how that's not going to be a divisional round game, unless, I guess, the Steelers could choke this thing away and end up in the wild card round. But I think it's a little too much to ask for the Jaguars to have gone from 0 to 60 and win 2 road playoff games, or 2 playoff games, including 1 at Heinz Field. But it's true. They went up there and won. No doubt about it. Steelers have a tendency to play down to competition, not take teams seriously, as we saw last weekend, and just survive. That came up and it bit them. Big time. They played awful in that game. That was the game after where Roethlisberger said, maybe I don't have it anymore. So who knows? But it feels like, it looks like the AFC Championship game is going to be the Steelers, Patriots, or Chiefs in some way, shape, or fashion, those three teams. We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Don't forget, you could submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros or tweeting it at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Sign up to be an O Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O Rewards members earn $5 back every 150 points you earn. Fast, easy, free, only at O'Reilly. See store for details. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Sam tweets, where do you put Brad Stevens among the elite coaches in the NBA for the Ask the Pros? He's in that conversation. Steve Kerr, Greg Popovich, Brad Stevens. He's now in the conversation. He's got to win a championship to be in the Pop Kerr realm. And granted, Steve Kerr has been given the greatest assemblage of talent arguably ever in NBA history. So, but those two guys have multiple rings. Popovich, to me, is the greatest of this era. He's done it with all different types of styles, in different types of eras, with different rules. But Stevens is a top 3 coach in the NBA. Another Ask the Pros question of the day comes to us from Daniel, who tweets, DA, would you rather watch Dolphins-Jags in the playoffs, or Mraz and the dessert coordinator pillow fight with potato sacks, or watch 2 mules fight over a turnip in a field somewhere? Well, Daniel, I'm glad you asked that question. Here's the power rankings. Number 3, Dolphins-Jags. I don't really need to see that. That's clearly the 4:30 kick on a Saturday. Who usually calls that game, Mraz?
That's usually the ESPN game, Gruden and McDonough.
So that's going to be Gruden, McDonough, Dolphins, Jags, wild card weekend, the early Saturday kick, because they don't want to put that in primetime.
Sergio Dip on the sideline.
Okay. So the greatest stage ever.
This is the NFL.
Wild card weekend, Jacksonville, Florida.
The biggest stage out there.
Dolphins, led by Dan Marino and Don Shula, taking on Mark Brunell, Tom Coughlin, and the Jaguars.
The biggest stage possible.
Having the time of their life. When you dip, he dips, we dip. It's Dolphins Jags, and it's next on ESPN. So that's number 3. Number 2 is actually Mraz and Brad Heller, dessert coordinator, fighting pillow fighting with potato sacks. I would appreciate if they were fighting with flour socks so that Mraz had all of those old wounds come back from Halloween's past, with Heller smashing him over the big Buddha belly with a flour sock, a big gym sock that's just filled with flour. That'd be number two. And then that's the sound that comes out when his belly's getting hit by a sock worth of flour. You can imagine the 14-year-old standing over Mraz in the street, pounding him with a flour sock. And what comes out? It's Mraz. Mraz trying to breathe with a Charleston chew halfway down his pipe.
Are we on the number one yet?
And then finally, number one on that list is two mules fighting over a turnip in a field, because I feel like those mules could get real intense, real angry. Time for your cut line this morning, boys and girls.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
Me and the Body Bellotti are having too much fun with these drops. Oh, it's so good. So Greg Olsen is going to call a game. He's on injured reserve for the Carolina Panthers. And with the foot injury, he's going to be able to call a game. He wants to get into broadcasting. He's a very good quote. He's a very good conversationalist. He's going to be, I think, a very talented broadcaster when he retires. So Fox is going to put him on the game for Rams and Vikings this weekend. Now, that's a big game, obviously. Rams and Vikings, both 7-2 teams. And the winner has kind of that inside track to the 2 seed in the NFC playoffs, or at least one of the tiebreakers towards it. They would move to 8-2. But the Vikings are upset that Greg Olsen could be part of this team. The broadcast team, because he's going to come back with the Panthers, and the Vikings play the Panthers December 10th. So the Vikings are bothered that Greg Olsen could get inside information going into their matchup against him. And look, I think this is a legitimate concern. It's so much of a concern that Fox is not going to make him part of the behind-the-scenes conference calls. So they know that there's a concern there. They know there is a possibility of it looking a little shady. And I think that's the right idea. Now put him in with the coaches of the conference calls. But here's the thing. Being on broadcasts myself, I know, and obviously having many friends of the business that call play-by-play at that level or other levels, you have access to this information behind the scenes that you don't even use on air. So Greg Olsen might not be sitting with the coaches. He might not be asking the coaches inside information. But just by being around the broadcast, you're privy to information you would never get elsewhere. Now look, Greg Olsen, I mean, hypothetically, you could get information from broadcasters anyway, that if you've got a friend of the broadcast industry, you can call them and say, what do you think about this? What do they say about this? What do you guys know about this? And all that information, you know, it's not under lock and key. You got a lot of people, dozens of people working on every television broadcast behind the scenes. So the Vikings could, or the Panthers could, or whatever, get their inside information elsewhere. But I understand this concern by the Vikings. And I think it's just a dangerous precedent to set when you've got players that are still active, that aren't officially retired, being on game broadcasts when they can come back or they can share that information somewhere else. I mean, think about it. The one thing you could say, though, is that you could be so loose-lipped in this situation where you could be just retired for 1 year. Like, what happens if Jay Cutler was actually a decent team guy? Or let's say Tony Romo, better example. And he's got inside information of a team like the Eagles and then says, hey, we're doing the Eagles game. We got this, and sends it back to his boy Jason Witt. I mean, that is obviously on the table. So I think that this is a concern, and I get it because Greg Olsen is going to be really good at this, but I also understand why the Vikings are hesitant, and I think this is a dangerous precedent to set if you're the NFL.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Papa John is being forced to apologize for the comments that he made that the anthems and the situation surrounding the anthems were hurting his pizza sales. He said, or at least Papa John's Pizza released a statement on Twitter saying that we sincerely apologize if anybody thought our statements were divisive. We believe in the right to protest inequality, support the players' movement to create a platform for change. We believe we should honor our anthem as well. Together as Americans, we can do both. So Papa John's, as any big company is going to do, plays both sides of the fence. We don't want to offend anybody, so players should be able to protest. And racial inequality is bad. And they shouldn't do it in the national anthem. So does that cover everybody? Is that a, who do we miss here? Anybody else? Okay, how can we craft a tweet that everybody can't be offended by, which is America in 2017? But what I love about this story is that even those that are vehement against players kneeling during the national anthem have said, yeah, but the pizza sucks, which I love. You know, I love somebody that is willing to go, hey, man, I don't agree with this part of the equation. Let's say in this case, kneeling during the national anthem, but I mean, the pizza still sucks. Like, that's not an excuse for the pizza sucking. That's been my favorite part. My favorite part of this is that it's just become open season on bad pizza.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
And that is your cut line this morning.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
All right, let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. We go back to yesterday's Trash Tuesday, when Pete the Body Bilotti was very upset at handshakes.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
Well, first I'm going to trash Andrew for throwing everybody under the bus after his mistake.
Fair.
Second of all, I'm going to trash all these talking heads on all of these shows that we see in the morning.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
Do we have to get the emphasis on the handshake? I mean, enough already. We're talking sports on a sports talk show. It was a nice dodge. Do we need to have the pounds and the handshake over examined? I mean, enough already. It's just
like
sports.
When coaches do this?
No, when hosts do
when
it.
When hosts do it,
that's right.
They're examining how they fist pump.
It's overemphasized.
The biggest stage out there.
The handshake, Stephen A. shaking out of the guy's hands.
Okay.
The other show with those other two guys, they're fist bumping and in the commercial. Enough already. We're just doing sports. We're not cutting open a body and having open heart surgery.
That's not nice. Come on.
You're so trashy.
Enough.
Do a lot of your open heart surgeons do extravagant fist bumps?
Well, I think so. Before, like, get comfortable with the patient. And then he went, ha!
What is going on here?
Thanks for taking the attention off me, Pete.
I've had it.
Oh. I had no idea what that guy was talking about.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
They got a good enough relationship with a patient. Lenny tweets, will Mraz call his overnight shifts the Wizard of Mraz? I don't think you're allowed to rename a show that you're filling in for, right? Have you gotten the blessing from Amy yet, by the way?
I haven't spoke to her. I didn't. Is this like asking your future father-in-law for a hand in marriage?
Well, not necessarily, because it's not like Gary Parrish ever runs it by me to fill in. But I don't know. I mean, you know Amy. You've got a nice relationship with Amy. This is your first chance, so I would think that maybe you... I don't know if she should reach out to you. What's proper protocol here?
Now you have me thinking I'm rude. Why did you even say anything? Now I think I'm rude.
Should she reach out to you?
No, maybe I should just say, hey, looking forward to filling in for you. Is there any, you know, thing you'd like me to keep in mind?
So the protocol here in terms of shaking hands between quarterbacks, Peyton Manning said, it's not the older quarterback, it's the losing quarterback. The losing quarterback has to approach the winning quarterback to shake hands. In this case, who's the losing quarterback? Who needs to approach who here?
I will approach her.
You're the losing quarterback?
I wouldn't call myself the losing quarterback, but, you know, it's her house. I'm just coming in, not trying to mess anything up. Just thought, hey, looking forward to filling
will
in for you.
Will you text her, tweet her, call?
Oh my God, tweet her?
Are you going to call her?
I don't do phone calls.
You don't do phone calls?
No. Will I'm going to send a carrier pigeon with a note.
Will you come in very late tonight when she's on the air?
No.
Maybe call the hotline?
No, I'm just going to send her a little text. That's all. A little texty poo.
All right. Send the texty poo today and let me know the response. We'll discuss it tomorrow on the air.
No, we won't. No, we won't.
Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel.
The Body.
Yeah. And thanks to Andrew Kaplan on the simulcast. Thanks to Connor Green doing a great job on the board as well today. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.